Perhaps, and more likely, you've heard a sermon or two about how to keep the Sabbath. Have you heard any about how to break the Sabbath? All right, well, you will today. This will be the first. How to break the Sabbath. We probably think of that as something we don't want to do, that in fact we want to keep the Sabbath. When in fact, in reality, we really don't keep the Sabbath, but rather the Sabbath keeps us. Have you ever thought about that? You say, well, how does it do that? Well, every week we are reminded that if we stop working, if we stop doing things, the world will still keep going. God will take care of things. Isn't that good to know? We can stop, we can rest. And everything is not dependent upon what you and I do. And so when we pause for Sabbath week after week, we really see that it's an act of faith, is it not? Act in faith that there is a great God who upholds everything. And it's all right to stop. We also, week after week, we enjoy God's spiritual rest as a free gift. And we are reminded week after week that our work is always going to be unfinished, imperfect, and inadequate. What you and I do is never going to be enough. Never will it warrant us a place in God's kingdom. But each Sabbath that rolls around reminds us that God's rest comes free. And that if we simply come with open hands, He gives it to us. And we're also reminded each week that the things of eternity, the things that we can't see, spiritual things, are more important than things of time, material things. The rabbis, they spoke about the Sabbath as a window on eternity, which is to say, each Sabbath you got to experience a little bit of what was to come. And so we get that eternal perspective for our lives today. We get to reflect upon what really matters. Because sometimes we get so caught up, don't we? Day by day with all the different activities that we're doing, we forget what matters most. So in a very real sense, the Sabbath keeps us. We don't keep it. Now, there's a couple ways we can approach Sabbath. And unfortunately, more often than not, we tend to emphasize one that is more negative. That is, we are told and we teach what you ought not to do on the Sabbath. However, there is a legitimate aspect of the Sabbath. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, the very first place the Sabbath is mentioned, you've got your Bibles, I believe that might be on the screen too, Genesis 2 verses 1 through 3. First place we find the Sabbath mentioned, and we come upon this idea of stopping. It's a biblical legitimate point that we shouldn't miss. Genesis chapter 2, let's look at actually verse 2 and 3, says, by the seventh day, God had what? Finished. He was done with his creation, the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he what? Rested. I think all our Bibles, regardless of the translation, will say he rested from all his work. And then verse 3, God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it he rested. And the word there for rested or rest means to stop. So God stopped. He rested. He ceased what he was doing. And so God calls us to enjoy that same sort of thing. And in order to do that, he calls for us to stop, to cease, to rest from all those other things that we've been doing, so that we can enjoy the God who created us. I can remember when Dawn and I were dating just a few years ago, and I was living on one side of the state of Michigan, and she was on the other side. And we would get together most every weekend. Either I would travel over there or she would travel to where I was. And when she came, I would stop doing all those things I had been doing, because I wanted quality time with her. And if I had kept doing all those things I had been doing, we wouldn't have been able to have the relationship that we had. And in the same way, God asks us for special time. When our attentions are undivided, because he wants to build that relationship with us. And he knows in order for that to happen, we have to stop. We have to rest from all those other things that fill up the days of our weeks. God wants quality time. And I've come to look at this a little differently, I think in a more healthy way. It's not that we can't do those things during the week. And it's not that those are bad things, that they're wrong things, but we don't have to do those things. We are freed from them and their demands. Isn't that a good thing? I think it is. We are free to develop that relationship with the God who made us and redeemed us. And in order to do that, we have to stop. And so we have heard, and again, it's a legitimate Bible teaching. You know, don't, stop. We need to hear that. But, sometimes we take that too far. And the Sabbath simply becomes a day when you don't. When you just stop. And it's almost as if then a dead person could do very well at keeping the Sabbath, right? Because you just don't do anything. The Lord does call us to stop, to slow down, to cease and desist. But, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, that's only half of it. That's only half of it. And if we stop there, we are missing a huge chunk of what it means to enjoy the Sabbath. If we're only stopping, if we're only avoiding certain things, then we're really missing the full Bible picture of Sabbath. And so this morning I want to share with you some thoughts about how to break the Sabbath, which is to say, how to really keep it in the truest, truest biblical sense. And our teacher, our example, will be Jesus. So we're on very safe ground here. We're following Jesus. If we follow his example, we never have to worry, do we? We don't. And so I would present to you a couple questions. How did Jesus treat the Sabbath day when he was here on this earth? What did he do on the Sabbath? How did he keep it or break it? And what can we learn from his example? So I'd like us to look at some texts and see what they tell us about Sabbath breaking. Maybe some of them you're familiar with, some of them perhaps not. Or if you're familiar with them, you haven't really looked at them within the context of Sabbath. The first one, Luke chapter 13. So if you open up your Bibles, and I think that might also come up on the screen. In the Bible, did you know there are 7 miracles of Jesus that he performed on the Sabbath day? 7. 7 represents what? Perfection, fullness, completeness. Do you think Jesus had a reason for performing 7 miracles on the Sabbath day? I think so. So Luke chapter 13, it's verses 10 to 17. My Bible describes it as a crippled woman healed on the Sabbath. And it tells us there in verse 10 that it says, on a what? On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching there in one of the synagogues. In verse 11, there was a woman also at church that day. She had been crippled for how long? 18 years. She's been suffering. 18 years. And it describes her as being bent over so that she could not straighten up. Jesus sees her. Verse 12 says he calls her forward. And it's interesting, there still in verse 12, he doesn't ask her, as he often did, do you want to be well? He simply heals her, doesn't he? Verse 12, it says, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And he puts his hands on her, and it says immediately she's able to straighten up. And she praises God. So verse 14, let's notice the response of the pastor, if you will. Says the synagogue ruler, doesn't it? What was his response? Verse 14, there are 6 days for what? For work. So somehow in his mind, What Jesus did healing this person is work. Do you see a problem there? I see a problem. For work. Somehow healing people, helping them, freeing them, unbinding them or unloosening them, as some of your Bibles will say, somehow that is work. And so he says, so come and be healed on, so come and be healed on those days. That is, the other days of the week, and not on the Sabbath. So what's his problem? You know, what causes him to say what he's saying there? For one thing, we can say is that he cares more about a day, that is the Sabbath, than he does people. That's a pretty sad thing, isn't it? That somehow a day, what's a day, a chunk of time? Somehow time takes precedent over a person in need. Yes, mercy. He needs mercy. And the Sabbath, in his understanding, is not a day for healing. It's not a day for helping people, but it's a day for nothing. And Jesus calls him out, doesn't he? As it goes on. Verse 15, it says, Jesus answered him, you hypocrites. It says, because doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and give it water? And of course, the answer is, of course you do. You take care of your animals. And so his reasoning is from the lesser to the greater, right? If you do this for your animals, and you do, verse 16, then should not this person, this human being made in the image of God, this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, should not she be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her? You cannot conclude anything but, of course, if you're going to take care of your animals, how much more should you take care of another human being? Especially on the Sabbath day. Jesus is saying, that's what the day is for. And so we can say, just based on this first story, compared to the accepted, the taught approach to the Sabbath of his day, Jesus was a Sabbath breaker, wasn't he? He was. And he did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. Because he wanted to make a point. And he saw what was happening. And how somehow the day of the Sabbath was being so grossly misunderstood that the day was becoming more important than people. And so Jesus, he performs this miracle to show the right way as to what kind of behavior ought to take place on the Sabbath. And to do that, he had to break the Sabbath according to the practice of his day. Sabbath-breaking principle I find in this story, particular verse 16, which we already mentioned. But Jesus says, and I think we need to notice, he says, ought not this woman be set free on the Sabbath? Set free. So it seems to me, on a very firm biblical foundation, we can say that one thing we ought to be doing on the Sabbath day is helping set people free. Jesus said that, didn't he? He not only said it, he did it. That's how Jesus broke the Sabbath and how we ought to as well. So, when we deliver food to people on the Sabbath, we are freeing them, are we not? From hunger? Yes. And when we help to clean their houses or their apartments, we free them from that messiness, that dirt that surrounds them. When we visit them in their homes, we free them from that loneliness. We give them encouragement. Ought not they be set free on the Sabbath day? So remember, it's not just about stopping, but it's also about doing. Just as Jesus did. The Sabbath is a day to do something. Jesus didn't have to perform this miracle on the Sabbath. But he chose to. He wanted to. In order to set the record straight. As if to say, here's how it ought to be done. All right, let's turn over to another scripture. There's seven. We're not going to look at all seven, but we are going to look at three of them. Our scripture was Matthew 12. So if you turn there with me, or also on the screen, we'll have it. Matthew chapter 12. We didn't read in our scripture, but the first few verses, we find Jesus traveling with his disciples on a, what's it say, verse 1? It's a Sabbath. His disciples are hungry. And so, as they travel through the field, they start to harvest some grain, don't they? They're harvesting the grain, and then you have to thresh it. You ever done that? That's what they were doing. And they ate it. Why did they do that? They're hungry. It's okay to be hungry on the Sabbath. And to work a little to take care of your hunger. Apparently. But not everyone thought so. Verse 2 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to Jesus, look, your disciples are doing what is, what? Unlawful on the Sabbath. And again, according to their laws, they were harvesting, they were threshing the wheat, they were working on the Sabbath. And the response Jesus gives, which is I would not have come up with this myself. If Jesus hadn't said this himself, it would make me uncomfortable. It still does. But that's okay, isn't it? Jesus often says things that makes us uncomfortable. But notice the illustration that he gives to, what's the word, to validate, justify what his disciples have just done. He says, don't you remember, referring to the Old Testament, what David did when he and his companions were hungry? Verse 4, it says, he entered the house of God, the temple, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread. You know what he's talking about here? They ate the showbread in the sanctuary, which Jesus said was not lawful for them. It was for the priests. And notice, Jesus, he's not condemning David. He's saying that was okay to do. Again, that makes me uncomfortable. It's like if I'm working at the church one day and I get hungry and Anwar has eaten all our snacks in the office, but there's some communion bread left over, and I go and help myself to the communion bread. I'm not going to do that. That makes me uncomfortable. But Jesus says that's what David and his companions did, and that was all right. Because human need takes precedent, is more important than our worship rituals. And he says that very thing in verse 7. He says, if you had known what these words mean, and he quotes from the Old Testament, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And by sacrifice, he's referring to the worship system. He said, I want you to be merciful and not worry so much about all the rituals that he has put into place. And he says, if you knew that, you would not have condemned. Notice what he says. You would not have condemned who? Guiltless or innocent. So Jesus is referring to David and his companions as well as his disciples as innocent for what they were doing. If we move on down, again, it says he goes into a sanctuary, into the synagogue, and we find there a man with a shriveled hand, story that most of us are familiar with. And this time his opponents, this is verse 10, it says they're looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? We already know the answer to that question, don't we? And again, he argues to them from their own laws, from their own practices. And he says to them, if any of you have a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? And of course, that was in their law, that you were permitted to do that, that you ought to do that. Not just permitted, but commanded to take care of your animals. And so again, he argues from the lesser to the greater, verse 12, how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? So if you're going to take care of your animals, how much more ought we to take care of people? Therefore, Jesus gives us a principle to live by on the Sabbath. It is lawful to what? Lawful to what? To do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus heals this person. According to the rabbinic, the rabbi's teachings, a sick person could be treated on the Sabbath if the situation was life-threatening. And in the same way, as was mentioned, if a sheep or ox fell into a pit, it was permissible to pull the animal out on the Sabbath day in order to save its life. Wasn't a person's life more valuable than an animal's? Unfortunately, the spiritual leaders of Jesus' day, they showed more compassion for their animals than for people. And they approved of watering an animal but not restoring a person. You know, how can we understand that? We can't, can we? And Jesus says, something's wrong with that picture. And he says, I'm going to break the Sabbath. Because that kind of Sabbath keeping needs to be broken. Must be broken. And so he says, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And what I want you to notice about that little phrase, it says do. You see that? Verse 12. It's lawful to do, which is to say, the Sabbath's a day where Jesus calls us to do something. And I don't think it's just come to church. Well, that's a good thing to do, but not just that. To do good on the Sabbath. So don't just stop. Don't just rest. But also do something good. The response of the Pharisees, verse 14, after Jesus healed the man, says the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So it's certainly true from the Bible record that in some sense, Jesus was put to death because he was a Sabbath breaker. It's true from Scripture. As I mentioned, there were seven miracles Jesus performed on the Sabbath day. And we ought to pay special attention to them because Jesus is telling us something important. Please notice, again, we're not looking at all of them. We'll look at one more. There was also a man with a demon, Peter's mother-in-law, the man with the withered hand we just saw, the bent-over woman, man with dropsy, crippled man at the pool, which we'll look at in just a moment. And then in John 9, the man born blind. Notice, what I want you to notice about all of them is that none of those that were healed were in mortal danger. That is, what they had was not life-threatening. Could have waited. But Jesus said, no, they can't wait. They can't wait. It's Sabbath. And that's what Sabbath is all about. It's about doing something good for others. And so he leaves us an example, a template, if you will, for what the Sabbath is for. All right, let's take just a few more moments to look at John chapter 5. Again, it's a familiar story to many of us. The man at the pool of Bethesda or Bethsaida, said both ways. People gathered there at the pool thinking they might get healed. There was a story, a myth that went around, which was only that. But what I want you to notice about this man who was paralyzed. No, excuse me. Okay, invalid. Verse 5. It describes this man as an invalid. One who had been there, who was there, had been an invalid how long? 38 years. 38 years. And you would think, 38 years, that's a long time, isn't it? So why not wait another day or two? He's been there 38 years. But Jesus says, no, no. This is what Sabbath day is about. And so Jesus heals him, verses 8 and 9. Tells him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And it says, verse 9, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. And we are told, second half of verse 9, the day on which this took place was what? It was a Sabbath. It was a Sabbath. And we come up against, once more, the response of the leaders. Verse 10. And the Jewish leaders, it says, go to the man who had been healed. It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. He says, well, the man who healed me told me to pick it up. You're going to listen to them, aren't you? They just healed you. So what should we make of this miracle? If we can do good, if we can help another find wholeness, if we can help to improve the quality of their life, we shouldn't wait to do that. In fact, if it's a Sabbath day, we should especially want to do it then. Because that is showing them what that day is all about. Not saying, well, I'm sorry I'd help you, but it's the Sabbath. And I don't want to work. People are more important than days. And don't miss this, part of keeping Sabbath is to continue the helping, healing ministry of Jesus. Don't wait. Don't wait for Sunday or Monday, the Sabbath day. That's what it's for. So it's a day to rest for us, but it's also a day to share that rest with others, which means we might have to work a little bit. But if we're doing it for somebody else, it's not work. Work is what we do for ourselves. If we're doing it for somebody else, it's not work. It's just mercy and kindness. The man was what? Picking up his mat and carrying it. Which is to say, there could be some work involved. But that's okay. It's all right to sweat on the Sabbath. To work for another. Sometimes we say, I don't have time for something. For something at the church. I don't have time. And I know many of us, most of us, we keep busy. We have jobs, we have families, we have other responsibilities. They fill up our days. But every Sabbath day, God has given us time. Time to do good. Not just stop, but do good. To help make somebody's life a little better. To continue the ministry of Jesus. And we all have time every Sabbath, don't we? And if all we're doing is stopping, we're not really keeping the Sabbath. We're not. Jesus says it's a day to do good. And if we're not on a regular basis doing some good, we're not really keeping the Sabbath. We're not. And so, in order to keep the Sabbath, it may be we'll have to break it. As some of us have come to understand it. Just like Jesus did. Jesus was a Sabbath breaker who went about doing good. And I would say, you know, based on our study this morning, these scriptures and the others we didn't even look at, couldn't we say that Jesus was the one who started service Sabbaths? He did, didn't he? He knew the Sabbath wasn't just a day to stop, but also a day for service, for ministry, for acts of kindness. And so, my appeal, out in the foyer, there are some sign-up sheets for our service Sabbath next week. Won't you join with Jesus in being a Sabbath breaker? Because sometimes, in order to keep the Sabbath day as God intended, you have to break it. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals or to the screen.